Hey there, future friends! This week, our pool boy becomes a PI, our fortune isn't fortunate, and the apes are back in town. This is the week of May 10th, 2024, and this is year 8 of Future Flicks with Billiam. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. That's right, it is year 8. I've missed my anniversary for the second or third year in a row. I can't remember. But yes, this is the 8th year. Future Flicks started back, the podcast that is, started back in April of 2016. So over 419 weeks, I have done 310 episodes, so not bad. But it's no wonder that other podcasts like my good friends at We're Doing Fine with Robbie and Lisa are fast catching up with me. But yes, 8 years at this, and let's just keep going. Let's see if we can make it to 10. Well, my future friends, if you have chosen this episode to join the Future Flicks family, let me tell you what it is we do on this show. On this show, we, I don't know why I said we, it's just a one-person gig. I look at all the movies coming out during the week, and I break them up into two categories. The first category is the limited release section, which is every release that doesn't get a nationwide or major streaming release. That did nothing to catch my eye. Doesn't mean it's bad. Does not necessarily mean it's bad. But it just did nothing to sell itself to me based on its premise, cast, and trailer. Next is the wide releases and interesting indies. Just like it sounds, every single wide release and major streaming release, no matter how good or bad it looks. And then the limited movies that did catch my eye. I then wrap it up with a pick of the week, which I say, hey friends, if you go see one movie this week, this should be it. This looks the best. And then I send you along your way to the other great podcasts you may listen to. So why wait another minute? Why beat around the bush? Let us jump into the first segment, which is the limited releases. Let's start with a movie called Hazard. This follows Noah, who really loves his girlfriend, his daughter, and his car. But after accepting a driving job, he gets into a race that will result in either losing his life, his family, or his beloved car. This is a movie from Belgium and was directed by Jonas, I'm going to butcher this, but Govaerts. Govaerts, and this just looks bad. Next up, we have a movie called Finding Tony, video on demand release. When a depressed, widowed NBA star loses everything, he reluctantly begins coaching a junior college women's basketball team, where he meets an orphaned basketball phenom who will change his life forever. This stars no one of note and is directed by Raven Magwood Goodson, and this is Raven's first movie. This one did look like it could potentially be good, but also 100% skippable. Next up, we have a film called Gasoline Rainbow. Limited release this week, VOD on the 31st. Follows five teenagers from a small town in Oregon who, with high school in the rear view, decide to embark on one last adventure to make it to a place they've never been, the Pacific Coast, 500 miles away. Their plan, in full, this stars no one of note and is directed by the Ross brothers, who are Bill Ross IV and Turner Ross. This is another one that could potentially be really good. It gives me Florida Project vibes. It gives me vibes of a movie I talked about a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to talk about again this week called We Grown Now. It gives me this vibe that it could potentially be good, but the trailer just kind of bored me. Next up is a film called Force of Nature, The Dry 2. Five women participate in a hiking retreat, but only four come out the other side. Federal agents Aaron Falk and Carmen Cooper head into the mountains hoping to find their informants still alive. This is the sequel to 2020's The Dry. This stars Eric Bana from Hannah. Oh, that rhymes. Anna Torv from Fringe. Robin McLeavy from Hell on Wheels. And Cece Stringer from 2021's Mortal Kombat. This is directed by Robert Connolly, who did Paper Planes and The Dry. Eric Bana is someone I believe deserves far, far more love, and these mostly forgettable movies he's doing just make me sad. I mean, at least he's still working, at least he's a star in what he's doing, but I think he deserves far more, and he deserves flowers. He really does. My friends, we have three more movies. Can I count? Yes, three. I can count. Huzzah and yay. Counting, even with my shoes on. I'm lying. I don't have shoes on. Lazarus is the next film. Lee protects her orphaned nieces, Imogen and Maeve, from a self-destructing world, raising them in isolation until an outsider threatens their peaceful existence. This stars, and speaking of underappreciated people, Ashley Judd from Double Jeopardy, Sarah Pigeon from The Wilds, Katie Douglas from Ginny and Georgia, and Asher Angel from Shazam. This is written and directed by Alec Tibaldi. Again, Ashley Judd, she's fantastic. She deserves a lot more love, but I just guess there's no room in Hollywood, I guess for some people. Unfortunately, this movie looks boring and skippable. It looks like one of those films where the big reveal is going to be there actually wasn't an apocalypse or anything like that, and she's just some like scared lady living in the woods. Or that things aren't as bad as she says it is, but it's still kind of dangerous, causing the older of the kids to kind of rebel and then get in trouble. It doesn't look bad, but it also doesn't look good, and it did nothing to catch my eye. Let's move on to The Image of You. This follows identical twins Anna and Zoe. When Anna meets a stock trader, she thinks he's perfect, but Zoe doesn't trust him. So she sets out to discover the truth about him. This stars Sasha Patirsi, I think, from Pretty Little Liars. She plays both of the twins. Nestor Carbonell from Lost. And speaking of people who deserve flowers, Mira Sorvino from The Replacement Killers. This is directed by Jeff Fisher. Apparently this is based off a book, but if my wife has never heard of it, and I have never heard of it, and we're both avid readers who are up on reading, she's big part of the BookTube community. I watch a lot of book talk videos. If both of us have never heard of it, that already tells me all I need to know. I'm not saying our taste is like the end all beat all, but I'm saying that if we have not even heard of this book, that says something. And finally, a movie I could have sworn I talked about already. Oh, did I talk about this? So, okay, a while back, this show used to be a little longer. And it used to be longer because I would talk about the news and the trailers. I would do a segment about talking about all of the news that I noticed and then all the new trailers that came out that I noticed. I wonder if I talked about this in the trailer section, because I could have sworn I talked about this on the show before. But anyway, this is called Not Another Church Movie. Tyler Ferry, spelled P-H-E-R-R-Y, Ferry, not Perry, is commanded by God to write a movie inspired by his crazy dysfunctional family, but the devil has his own devious plans in this hilarious spoof comedy. This stars Kevin Daniels from 6 episodes of Will Trent as Tyler Ferry, Mickey Rourke from The Wrestler, Jamie Foxx from Ray, Vivica A. Fox from Independence Day, Lamorne Morris from New Girl, and Tisha Campbell from Martin. This is directed by Johnny Mack. And maybe if you have ever liked Tyler Perry's work, this could be for you. Kind of like if you like Scream and those movies, Scary Movie is funny to watch, so maybe that could be up your alley, but not for anyone else. Well, my future friends, that's actually it for the first part of the show. And yeah, we only have a few movies, 7 movies in the wide releases. So let's just take our break right now and we'll be right back with the wide releases and interesting indies. Please stay tuned.
Are you looking for a nerd podcast that touches on every walk of nerd culture? Well, look no further. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is the podcast for you. We cover nerd culture, news, new movie reviews, bad movie reviews, video games, comics, with sprinkles of nerdy nostalgia throughout. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is a flagship podcast of the Somewhat Nerdy Podcast Network. Find us on every podcast app or stream it on somewhatnerdy.com. Good journey, nerds.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Robbie. And we host a show called
We're Doing Fine. We're friends from across the ocean.
I'm from Scotland.
And I'm from California.
Join us every week as we chat about biscuits.
You mean cookies.
Brexit.
Whatever's going on here. Who knows?
Almost dying.
why we're single,
popular culture,
and basically everything and anything that can distract us from this postmodern hellscape we're all living in, because
we're doing fine.
Future friends, we're back. We are back with the wide releases and interesting indies with a movie called Living with Leopards. Not lepers, that might be more interesting. This is a Netflix original movie. This is a nature documentary that follows two leopard cubs as they make the journey from infancy into adulthood. This documentary is directed by Alan Parkinson. And I love, love, love nature documentaries. Give me some of that David Attenborough shit. I will consume that like tacos. I love it. But this looks boring as shit. And it's a nature documentary. And I like that shit. That should say a lot. For me, I would just rather watch something from Nat Geo, because they still do some documentaries and stuff. Or I would watch an old PBS Nature one or anything from the BBC instead of this. Living with Leopards gets a 5 out of 11. After that, we have a movie called Aisha, a limited release movie. While caught for years in Ireland's immigration system, Aisha Osaji develops a close friendship with a former prisoner, Connor Healy. This friendship soon looks to be short-lived as Aisha's future in Ireland comes under threat. This stars Letitia Wright from Black Panther and Josh O'Connor from Challengers. F***ing Challengers. I know I don't do review episodes of the podcast anymore. Check out my TikTok, Billiam the Nerd, where I do my reviews. But I do my reviews there. I f***ing loved Challengers. And Josh O'Connor, there's a scene. I won't spoil anything. But for those of you who know, there's a scene where he changes up his serve. Holy shit. Holy shit. I was in the middle of a crowded theater and I said, oh f***, when I realized what he was doing. Anyway, Aisha looks really good, but it also looks like one of those movies that are really sad. I had a mini conversation in the comments of a TikTok video with Adam, the Sunset Loner, on TikTok about this, about how some of these movies are really good. They're really fun. Not fun. They're really good. They're good quality films. They have a lot to say. They're really well done. However, I can't watch them a lot because they're so deep, and this looks like one of those movies. This is about broken immigration systems, and for once, it's not about America's broken immigration system. Oh, while we're at it, I know a while back I chased away a lot of people when movies like The Trump Prophecy came out, and I just talked mad shit about it, and I don't think I didn't notice my listeners drop when I started talking shit about that, because this is not a political show at all. But if a movie comes out about a topic like that, I will talk about my feelings. That being said, free Palestine. 100% free Palestine. And if you don't like that, there's the exit. I don't get a lot of listens anyway. I am not going to care if I lose a few. But anyway, Aisha does look good. Letitia Wright's playing this young woman who gets caught up in the immigration system, and her future in the country is at risk, and they're threatening to send her back to where she's from. And she says, but if I go back, I will die. I have nowhere to go to. I think it's a war-torn country too. I forgot what country it was. But these are real things where we have people trying to make a better life for themselves. Like, let's be honest, the Europeans did across the globe before. And then they're just like, oh, by the way, I don't think you can come in here. This doesn't look too good for you. Get f***ed. This looks good, but hard to watch. And because of that, rewatchability is such a big deal for me that I say this is going to get a 6.5 out of 11. Next up, we have a movie called The Last Stop in Yuma County, another limited film. While stranded at a rural Arizona rest stop, a traveling salesman is thrust into a dire hostage situation by the arrival of two bank robbers with no qualms about using cruelty or cold, hard steel to protect their bloodstained fortune. This stars Jim Cummings from The Wolf of Snow Hollow, Jocelyn Donahue from Dr. Sleep, Richard Brake from Barbarian, Faison Love from Elf, and it's directed by Francis Galuppi. It's his first feature film, though he is targeted to direct the new Evil Dead movie. So this movie gives me the vibes of Free Fire, where we kind of have this standoff-based movie. Free Fire from a few years back with Brie Larson and Charlton Copley. And it gives me that vibe because we have these people are this traveling salesman sitting in this diner. These people come in, and the guy had seen something on the news about a bank robbery and to look out for this kind of car. And what kind of car do these people who just pulled up drive? That car. But then they realize that he knows who they are, so they hold him and the waitress hostage, and they have to act like everything's all gravy as people come in and out of the truck stop or the rest stop, the diner place. And then more and more, like, people start to kind of figure out what's going on and want a piece of it, and it just turns into this kind of cluster, and it does look pretty interesting. This definitely looks like a film to watch on streaming one day, but it doesn't look like anything to watch right now. And because of that, The Last Stop in Yuma County gets a 7 out of 11. And after that, we have a movie we've talked about before, but now it's expanding, I believe. I don't think it's expanding nationwide, but it's just going to more places now. It's called We Grown Now. Two young boys, best friends, Malik and Eric, discover the joys of hardships of growing up in the sprawling Cabrini-Green public housing complex of 1992 Chicago. And I think that's where Candyman takes place. Fun! This stars S. Apatha Murkerson from Law & Order, Lorel Howery from Get Out, Journey Smollett from Birds of Prey, and as Malik and Eric, Blake Cameron James and Gian Knight Ramirez, respectively. This movie gives me Florida Project vibes, where it's really going to be this movie about childhood joy. I haven't seen Florida Project, so if it gets sad, that's not my point. But it's just about these two kids living their life, enjoying childhood, in this housing complex that's all they know until one of them, I think Eric, finds out that his family is moving away, and what will happen to their friendship. It's 1992, so it's not like you could just go, oh yeah, I'll f***ing text you, I'll WhatsApp you, I'll FaceTime you. This movie looks like it could be full of childlike wonder and also equal parts heartbreaking, and it looks really good. I do want to try to see this, but I just don't see it coming to a theater near me with a time that works, because it is at a one theater I go to. But while my wife's visiting her family, I've been doing double features each time I go, and it just doesn't work out. But either way, We Grown Now is one of those films that you don't really need to see on the big screen. It's going to be just as good on the small screen. And either way, whether you see it in the theater or at home, check this movie out. It gets a 9 out of 11. Next up is a movie I've heard a lot of rumblings about, and unfortunately none of it is good. This is a movie that already came out, but like the previous movie, it's expanding this week. The movie's called Tarot. When a group of friends recklessly violates the sacred rule of tarot readings, they unknowingly unleash an unspeakable evil trapped within the cursed cards. One by one, they come face to face with fate and end up in a race against death. This stars Olwen Foray, or however you say it, from The Northman, Avantika from the 2024 Mean Girls, Jacob Batalone from Spider-Man Homecoming, Humberly Gonzalez from Ginny and Georgia, Harriet Slater from Pennyworth, Wolfgang Novogratz from The Half of It, and Aiden Bradley from 2021's Wrong Turn. This is directed by Spencer Cohen and Anna Hallberg. So too many people that I trust have had nothing good to say about this movie. And remember, that's something I say all of you should do too. Find some creators you trust. Find someone who loves movies, be it on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram Reels. Find them somewhere, a blog, whatever it is, find them. And if you need to have an opinion from someone else before you see a movie, if you can't make up your own mind, see what they say. And every mutual I have on TikTok who I trust that has seen this said it's crap. And that just kind of cements what I already felt, because when I first saw the trailer for Tarot, I didn't give a shit. And you know me, I love stupid horror movies. I thought Wish Upon was fun. I thought Stay Alive was fun. I like dumb horror, but this one looks too dumb for me. And even if none of my mutuals had said anything about it, I still would not have wanted to see this movie. Tarot gets a 5 out of 11. All right, next up is the final movie before the pick of the week. So the movie that's not the pick of the week is called Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. This is a nationwide release. Are you surprised? I am. Many years after the reign of Caesar, a young ape goes on a journey that will lead him to question everything he's been taught about the past and make choices that will define a future for apes and humans alike. This stars in IMDb order Freya Allen from The Witcher, Kevin Durand from X-Men Origins Wolverine, Daikin Lachman from Altered Carbon, William H. Macy from Magnolia, Owen Teague from It, Chapter 1, Peter Macon from The Orville, and Eka Darville from Jessica Jones. This is directed by Wes Ball, who did the Maze Runner series. So I'll be honest, if the next movie that's the actual pick of the week didn't come out this week, then I would have made We Grown Now the pick of the week. Because even though I think We Grown Now is a better quality film than any of these, I think it'd be more than likely to be a film that would be nominated for something, especially an Oscar. It probably won't, but out of all of these, it's the most likely. And I think it's the best quality film. I think fun has a lot to do with it, and my eventual pick of the week, which we'll get into it a bit, has that fun factor. So that being said, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes would never have been my pick of the week, because if the next film didn't come out, then it would have been We Grown Now, or maybe even Last Stop in Yuma County. And why is that, you may ask? And it's because the last Planet of the Apes movie, War for the Planet of the Apes, left such a bad taste in my mouth that I'm now gun-shy for anything else apes-related. I loved the first two Apes movies, Rise of the Planet of the Apes and the other one, whose name I totally don't have to look up right now, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So Rise and Dawn were really, really good. War disappointed the ever-loving shit out of me. I was bored during that film, and I should not have been bored when the first two were so damn good. And even though this film looks good, even though I think it's going to be better than War for the Planet of the Apes, I still really don't care. The story did nothing for me because it's about, it's like 300 years, if what I heard was right, 300 years after the reign of Caesar. And humans are being hunted by apes and they forgot to talk. Humans are basically wild animals now. And this new ape finds this human that can talk. He's like, oh, what are we doing? Maybe we shouldn't do this. And he starts to fight against the new Caesar. So I do think this film looks interesting, but I just can't bring myself to care that much. I will see this, though. Oddly enough, because it's the big movie, I'm going to go see this because I don't think I've done an episode since then, but I've been seeing double features because I signed up for AMC Plus A-List or whatever that is. For $24-something a month, you can see up to 3 free movies a week. And so on Saturdays or Fridays, I go and I just see a double feature. It's how I've seen, since I started doing the double features, just 2 weeks now, Challengers, f***ing amazing, Sasquatch Sunset, f***ing awful, Dune Part 2 is really good. I don't think it's as great as everyone says it was, but it's really good. And The Fall Guy, a lot of fun. But I think I'll see this film anyway, just because it's one of the big films and I can do a review about it on TikTok. But if it wasn't for that, I would 100% skip this till it came to streaming. And even then, if I didn't already have access to the streaming service that it came to, I would then just not watch it until I saw it at the library or at the used DVD store I go to or something like that. This movie, even though it's probably going to be a lot of fun, I just don't care that much. And because of that, this gets a 7 out of 11. And the reason it did get such a high score, even though I said I don't care, is because I just get that feeling that my bias and hatred towards the last film is 100% coloring how I feel. But my friends, you may be wondering, what is the pick of the week? Well, it's a limited release called Pool Man. Darren Barrenman is an unwavering optimist and native Angelino who spends his days looking after the pool at the Tahiti Tiki apartment block and fighting to make his hometown a better place to live. This stars Jennifer Jason Leigh from The Hateful Eight, Danny DeVito from Matilda, Annette Bening from The Kids Are Alright, Stephen Tobolowsky from Groundhog's Day, John Ortiz from Peppermint, DeWanda Wise from The Heart of They Fall, Ray Wise from Twin Peaks, and starring the director and co-writer, Chris Pine. This movie looks goofy as fuck. So we have this pool guy, and he's really into being a pool guy, that's his thing, but he's also into activism and he goes to his local city council meetings all the time, so much so that they know him just on sight, and he always has something he's fighting for. And one day, this person comes up to him and goes, hey, you know that councilman that's always on your case? I think he's a piece of shit. I want you to investigate him and to basically find out what he's doing wrong. Because he asked me doing something wrong. So Chris Pine goes, yeah, okay. So we kind of have this spy adjacent comedy where Chris Pine, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Danny DeVito, Annette Bening, or I'm not sure if Annette Bening's with them, but I know Jennifer Jason Leigh and Danny DeVito go with him at times, are trying to get to the bottom of what's happening. And also it doesn't help that Chris Pine's character is not the brightest light bulb in the house. So this is Chris Pine's directorial debut. And I think this looks like a really good time. I think it looks really funny. It's really enjoyable. And best yet, if you like to be one of those people that can recommend a film that no one knows of, you know, not a huge douche, but one of those people that goes, hey, do you want a film that's like that you'll love that probably flew under your radar? This is it. This is that film. Even if you aren't that kind of person who likes to recommend under the radar films to people, this still looks like the best pick. I laughed quite a few times just watching the trailer. I think Chris Pine is a great actor, and that supporting cast is fantastic. Jennifer Jason Leigh, amazing. Danny DeVito, Annette Bening. That's it right there. The rest of the cast, too, phenomenal. This has a great cast. It has a first-time director, but I trust him, especially if the trailer's any hint as to the quality of the film, and it sounds like an interesting movie. Pullman is my pick of the week. And it gets an 8.5 out of 11. All right, future friends, thank you for tuning in. As always, I appreciate you. I only get a few listens now, but I still am very, very appreciative that anyone wants to hear what I have to say about anything. And I thank you so, so much. I always joke about having no followers, how no one listens, but that's just me being self-deprecating. I love that I have even a couple people that want to listen to what I have to say, and it means so much to me. So thank you so much, especially if you made it this far in the episode. And this goes whether or not you are a personal friend of mine, because I appreciate it either way. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, don't forget to check out the Friends of the Show, the Somewhat Nerdy Radio Podcast, and We're Doing Fine with Robbie and Lisa. Please, please, please check out my TikTok, where I'm doing a lot of my content creation now. I am posting slowly on Instagram Reels too. So that's Billiam SWN on Instagram and Billiam the Nerd on TikTok. Find my link tree in the show notes and follow those links. And my future friends, please remember that no matter where life takes you, no matter what your week has in store, just take some time to catch a flick. I'm Billiam from Somewhat Nerdy signing off, and I'll see you in the future.